Whenever I see Wilson, I feel that my heart is become my brother, and I'm really good. It's really good. I feel that the most important thing for church is to become family. Not the institution, family. This is really important. That's what God wants. God wants us to be family. He doesn't want us to be church goers. He wants us to be family. And you should find family. You should be able to connect with people and become family together. I say one of the things that the devil does to people, that the way Bill's translating this one, So one of the things that the devil does And we don't want to agree. My wife doesn't agree with me about everything. I say, let's have egg and bacon. She'll say, we'll have porridge. You have to submit to your wife, amen? We don't agree with it. Church isn't about everybody agreeing on it. Church is family. Jesus is right. We're all only Jesus. And sometimes we agree with Jesus, sometimes we're not listening. So if there's anything you can learn from the Bible about church, you must understand it's first and foremost family. The family of God. Don't let anything go your way. And the second thing I want to say is this. It's important for the Hong Kong people not to become a ghetto. It's important for Hong Kong people not to end up in just a group with just Hong Kong. This is my conversation. God said you have to change this nation. God said you have to bless this nation. God said you have to challenge the spirituality of this nation. So if the devil can get you to stay in just a home culture, he will lie. Your children need to see you eating in the community in our town. They also need to see you leading in our church. So you should aspire to be a leader in our community. Why? Because your children need to see an example that they should lead in our community. Not just in Hong Kong buildings. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That's my dream for your children. That one day, one of them will become a pastor in our church. And I'll have to submit to them. But I will always submit to this Hong Kong fruit. Thank you. So, in real, I'll submit. Thank you. If you're able to miss, the bread that, what do they call it? Cherise meat. Oh, my goodness.
in his never tasted. Sharif would like the fighters go back to her house. To come and enjoy her bacon. She is just amazing. Okay, now today I'm going to teach on the subject of the Holy Spirit. And I know that for some of us, we come from different theological backgrounds. It's okay. What we need to do is have an open Bible. So we need to read the Bible. And then we need to examine what the Bible says. When I went to Bible college, at Bible college, there were many views about all kinds. The most important thing we should have as a church is the freedom to explore the Word of God, to examine it together, to talk about it together, to help each other, to study, to show ourselves approved of God. So the Bible must be open, and we must read it. And then we can challenge our thinking and our lifestyle and our beliefs. You can challenge it if you have a Bible. So today we're going to be looking at the Holy Spirit. And if you go to the first slide, please. It is amazing, but the Holy Spirit possesses attributes of God. This is really important to understand. And so when we read the scriptures, go to the second slide, please. We find that he, because he is God, he's God's Spirit. If he is God, and if he is truly the Spirit of God, then you will see the characteristics and attributes of God in him. As much as I would like to be everywhere all the time, I'm not. I'm here in Sedition. But the Holy Spirit is able to be everywhere all the time. The psalmist says in Psalm 139, verse 7, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depth, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. So he's everywhere. All the time. Only God. Only God can be everywhere. All the time. Because he is God's Spirit. Because he is God, he can be everywhere. Nobody else can be everywhere. No other spiritual being, whether Gabriel, no other spiritual being, angelic or human, can be everywhere all the time, only God. So the Holy Spirit is everywhere right now because he is God. Also, he knows all things. We read in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 13. Who can fathom the Spirit of the Lord or instruct the Lord as his counsel? Whom did the Lord consult to enlighten him? And who taught him the right way? Again, we read in John chapter 16 and verse 13. Jesus speaking. He said, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. All the truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. Speaking to us through his word. So when the Holy Spirit comes, the Holy Spirit wants to teach us things. He wants to guide us into truth. He has infinite power. This is what the will of the Lord, this is the will of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. He has infinite power. He is the spirit of God. And so we also read in Luke chapter 1, verse 35, the angel answered, the Holy Spirit, how was Jesus conceived? How was the body of Christ formed in Mary's womb? How? The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God. Could any mortal have fashioned the body of Christ? Could any angelic being form the body of Christ? Was God? Was God who prepared Christ's body? By his Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son. Luke chapter 1 and verse 5. So the Holy Spirit is involved in the bringing of our Savior in bodily form into the world. He's unique. He's unique. He is holy. This is something that a lot of Christians struggle in the West. In the West, a lot of Christians live compromised lifestyles. Some Christians behave with this. They should live with these. The moral values that they hold. You sleep around. This should not be the case in the body of Christ. There should be purity in the church. There should be holiness in the church. And so, we understand that he is holy. God is holy. The Spirit of God is holy. Completely separated unto the purposes of the Father. As we should be as well. We should live holy lives for God. Whether we're accountants, doctors, whether we're lawyers, whether we're office workers, whether we're engineers, architects, it doesn't matter what we are. We should live holy lives. That when people look at us, they say, this is a godly person. Why are you different? Why is your life different to my life? This is so important. He is holy. The Spirit of God is holy. He will not get involved with ungodly behavior. Like a dove, you come, you know, when you see a dove, they're so, if you make a noise, they just fly away. This is because the Holy Spirit, when he comes to us, he comes like a dove, like he came with Peter. It's a picture of how he wants to come. God doesn't want to force anybody to follow him. God doesn't want to make you have to obey him. He doesn't, God doesn't take away your freedom. You can say yes to him, or you can say no to him. God gives you the freedom of choice. And so when the Holy Spirit comes, he comes like a dove. Just gently. Hey, do you want me? Do you want me here? Do you want me to help you? Do you want me to empower you? He doesn't come, I'm here, now let me help you. He comes, not like Inga. Inga comes, you should be one of the leaders of the church, but that's Inga. Okay. But the Holy Spirit becomes very gentle. And he says, do you want me? If you live life that are not holy, it's difficult for you. Because he doesn't want to make you do anything. He will show you what you're doing is wrong. But he always asks permission to work in your life. This is amazing. God looks for our permission to work in our life. Wow, what a humble God we serve. And so, next slide, please. So the Holy Spirit, some of you are a little bit anxious about the Holy Spirit. I know, it's okay, I've been told. And but when you became born again Christian, when you gave your life to Christ, at that moment, the Holy Spirit, boom, sealed you. It's too late. You've already got the Holy Spirit. So maybe you didn't realize this, but when you said yes to Jesus and repented of your sin, at that moment the Holy Spirit came to dwell inside of you. So he's already with you. So maybe you shouldn't be afraid because he hasn't harmed you so far. Ephesians 1 verse 13, which says, and you were also included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. If you're born again Christian, whether you're conservative evangelical, whether you're charismatic, whether you're Pentecostal, whether you're Baptist, whether you're Anglican, whether you're Methodist, doesn't matter. If you're truly born again, the Holy Spirit came to dwell inside your heart. So you already have the Holy Spirit. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm surprised. Yeah. You already have the Holy Spirit. And of course, it's exactly what Jesus promised. Jesus promises we will have the Holy Spirit. And so when we become a Christian, then he comes and he dwells within us. And he loves to be with his people. Okay? This is really, really important. Next one, please. Next slide, please. So the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us. And because the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us, we're told to be really careful about how we live our lives. So, do not grieve. Don't bring pain to the Holy Spirit. Don't do things which hurt him. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, anger, rage, malice, deceit. Anything inside your life that is no good, it hurts the Holy Spirit. Sometimes my wife frustrates me. I know I never frustrate her. But sometimes my wife does things that makes me kind of, why is she doing this? And of course, I never do anything that makes her frustrated. Nobody believes me. And you know, sometimes in marriage, things don't always go well. And when things don't go well, sometimes you talk to one another in ways that are hurtful, that you should not do. I know that when I behave like this, the Holy Spirit shows me what I'm doing. He points out to me, this is not good behavior for a man of God, never mind a pastor. And he asks me to change. If my heart is hard, you're all sorry. I'm not going to change. She's wrong and I'm right. When she recognizes she's wrong, I can be gracious. Hard heart. And the Holy Spirit isn't interested in whether she's right or wrong. The Holy Spirit's interested in my attitude, my behavior. What I'm doing, that's wrong. Because he wants me to live a holy lifestyle. He wants me to bring peace into the situation Sometimes when you know you're right, you won't argue. And other times when you know you're wrong, you want to be forgiven. It's very strange, isn't it? When you know you're wrong and you're in trouble, and you say, I'm lost, please forgive me. You're looking for grace. Is this true? You want to be forgiven. But sometimes when you're right, you know you're right, oh no. You know, you're going to have to really apologize formally. When we're wrong, we want people to give us grace. When we're right, sometimes we're proud and arrogant. I am right and we must apologize. And we don't give grace. We give anger. So the Bible says, the Holy Spirit lives inside you. You must not behave like that. You must be a peacemaker, a peace giver. You must live a life which forgives when you get it wrong. And which is very quick to look for peace, not anger. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. Some people carry in their heart bitterness. And if you try to talk to them about it, they say, there's something wrong with your life, you're bitter. They put up a shield, like Transformers. And you cannot get to them. You can't speak to them. They put up a mask. Boom. Are you okay? Boom. Yes. But behind the mask, there's a lot of pain. Does anybody know what I'm talking about here? So, the Holy Spirit wants to help you to forgive. Don't be bitter. The Holy Spirit wants to help you not to get into anger. No. Let me heal your heart. Let me show you how to forgive. The Holy Spirit wants to help you so that you don't speak badly about people. Because the problem is, the Holy Spirit wants to work through you into the lives of other people. But if your tongue is used to criticize people, speak badly about people, how can God use those lips when you pray to bring healing to people? So we forget whether your wife or your husband is right or wrong. Bring peace into the marriage. Bring peace into your relationship. Be forgiving, be merciful to people. If they've got it wrong, take the moral high ground. Recognize, okay, they have it wrong, let me just love them. This is what God is looking for Christians. Because when we are wrong, the Holy Spirit doesn't abandon us. He doesn't walk away from you and say, oh, you're wrong, so I'm not talking to you anymore. The Holy Spirit constantly wants to win your heart back to Jesus. Help you to repent, to be right with God. That's how much He loves us. We too should love people like this. Can somebody say amen? Next slide, please. And so, the Holy Spirit, because He's the Spirit of God, you see Him doing things that God does. Because He is God. So, Psalm 104, verse 13. When you send your Spirit, they are greater and you renew the face of the ground. We know, don't we, from Genesis, that the Spirit of God hovered over the waters. We know that the Spirit was involved in creation, just like He was involved in bringing Christ into the world. Because He is God, He created. Apart from God, the rest of us, all we can do is play with the building blocks that God created. We can't actually create anything that doesn't already exist. Only God can create something out of nothing. We can take what He has created and we can manipulate it and create new things. But only because He's already created the elements in the first place. So we can be like Him, created, do amazing things. But only because He created them all out of nothing. No angel, no demon, no man can create something out of nothing. Only God. And so, next one, please. Next slide, please. Because he is God, we see in the scriptures that Holy Spirit and God are used interchangeably. Sometimes when the scripture is talking about God, it mentions the Holy Spirit. Sometimes when the scripture is talking about God, the scripture mentions God. And let's look at Acts chapter 5 and verse 3 to 4. Acts 5. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received from God? By the way, I want to say this is really, really important. When I talk about money, now that I'm talking about this is something I just need to mention. We need really good children to work for our children. And we need really good youth work for our children here. So it's really important that if you can tithe, then you should tithe. So that we can invest in the future generations of our community. It's really, really important. I'm really good. If you're not tithing yet, please pray and ask God for this. It's really, really important. Then Peter said, Ananias, how is it that Satan has so filled your heart that you have lied to the Holy Spirit and have kept for yourself some of the money you received from the land? Didn't it belong to you before it was sold? And after it was sold, wasn't the money at your disposal? What made you think of doing such a thing? You have not lied just to human beings, but to God. You see it? So Peter is challenging Ananias and saying, why do you lie to the Holy Spirit? You've not lied to human beings, you've lied to God. The Holy Spirit and God throughout the scripture are used interchangeably. Sometimes when the scripture is referring to God, the scripture is talking about the Holy Spirit. Sometimes when the scripture is talking about God, it talks about God, the Father. But God can sometimes be referred to the scripture as Holy Spirit, sometimes he's referred to as God. And again, there is only one Lord. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 17. Says, now the Lord is the Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. This is one of the most important scriptures that you will read about the Holy Spirit. You see, this, first of all, he is Lord. The Spirit of God is Lord. We only have one Lord, Jesus Christ. But you see, the Spirit of God is the Spirit of Christ, is the Spirit of God, because there is only one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And when we understand that what God has done is reveal himself in three ways, he's revealed himself as Father to show us that we're loved. He's revealed himself as a Son to pay the penalty for our sin. And he reveals himself as Spirit, Holy Spirit, so that we can walk in the liberty of the sons of God. This is why the devil wants people to be anxious about the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit brings freedom to people. Now, if I'm anxious about the Holy Spirit, I'm worried about the Holy Spirit, then he's not going to force me to have anything he wants to give me. He will not do that to any of us. But if I'm open to the Holy Spirit and I say, Holy Spirit, come and help me. Holy Spirit, when he comes to help me, he brings freedom into my life. This is why it's important for a Christian to be open to the Holy Spirit's help in their life. When the Spirit of God works, there is freedom for that person. And sometimes, You know, you have children. Some of you have children. You know, when you offer your children help, they don't always listen.
Okay.
When you say, I got a good idea, they say, oh, okay, what is it? And then they'll stand there and they'll listen to me. Okay, thank you. I listened, but no. I'm going to do this. And you can see they're going to make a mistake. You can see they're going to trouble. Do your children behave like this, or they just like you? Everyone's children. And so you say, let me explain. This is a good way. Oh, that's old fashioned. So you have to find ways to help them without them knowing you're helping. Like, for example, you look at the first group or how they want to get to where they're going and how to get back. And then you maybe say, oh, would you like some bus fare? Well, that bus is a good one. It goes all the way where you want to go. You have to find ways to help them. This is what the Holy Spirit has to do if we're not open. He has to just gently help us. Even if we don't know He's helping us. Because we're not willing to listen. Jesus said He will tell you what is to come. He will guide you into all the truth. If your heart is open to you. Okay, so the next one, please. Let's move a little bit quicker. It is possible to speak badly about the Holy Spirit. And so we really need to be careful. Now, if I have a theological view that differs to somebody else in the church, it's okay. A theological view is fine. We can all have different views on how the Holy Spirit works, but we should be studying the Bible to see, okay, is this correct? Is this right? But we need to be careful how we speak about the work of the Holy Spirit. Because it is possible to slander it. And if we slander the Holy Spirit, there's a real danger, because the Bible says there's no forgiveness. For those who slander the Holy Spirit, who speak bad of the Holy Spirit, there's no forgiveness. So we really need to be careful. I mean, you can speak badly about the Father, you can speak badly about the Son, and there's hope. But for some reason, I don't understand why. If you slander the Holy Spirit, I don't know why God has made this even. I don't understand it. But He has said it. That's what the Bible says. So let's be careful. If we don't understand, let's say, I don't understand. I love the way Wilson and Heather, Vivian, sorry, the way Wilson and Vivian, the way Vivian and the way Wilson and Vivian, they wanted to know more about how does this happen? What do you believe about? And we go for coffee and we sit down and we talk. And then they say, you're just putting it in a different way. Yeah, we believe that. But you're just putting it in a way I've not heard it said that way. And we found that we agree about most, not everything. We don't agree on everything, but we agree about most. They go, okay, now it's up. And so it's really important how we talk about the Holy Spirit. It's important. If you don't understand, say, I don't understand. It's also important for those of us who are believers in the church to be careful how we treat people when it comes to the work of the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus took time to train of His disciples. He told them what the Holy Spirit would do. He told them the Holy Spirit was coming. He explained to them how the Holy Spirit would work. And some people don't have knowledge. They don't understand. So when we just do things to people, it hurts them. Because they don't understand why you're doing what you're doing. So we need to be careful as leaders to help people to understand what the Bible says about themselves. So that they can embrace what the Word of God says. So the congregation needs to be careful. Leaders need to be careful as well. That we respect people and we take them on a journey through the Bible. This is what empowers people. So Jesus empowered the disciples and made sure that the disciples understood what was happening to them. So on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came, they knew exactly what was going on. They understood what was happening to them. Because Jesus had taken the time to prepare them and help them to understand the work of the Holy Spirit. This is important. So be careful how we speak about the Holy Spirit. Let's speak about it with honor. I know that's going to be easy for us, but with honor and with respect. Next one, please. So what does the Holy Spirit do when he's in the middle of people? Well, among the things that the Holy Spirit does is he teaches. He instructs us. He helps us to understand the scriptures. He opens up the scriptures to us so that we can have an understanding of what the scriptures are actually saying. He testifies. He intercedes as if he leads us, he provokes us to pray. The Holy Spirit moves us to pray. So if you're really full of the Holy Spirit, you'll be praying for Wilson and Vivian all the time. The Holy Spirit speaks. Really? Yes. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. He warns us about what is coming, and he wants to show us it. One of the things that we, because one of the questions that Wilson was asking me was, Ujinga, what is this prophecy thing? Okay? Does anybody have a question about prophecy? Okay. What is this prophecy? You know, so I said, okay, let me help. Because sometimes when we come from a conservative evangelical background, we use different language. We're saying the same thing, but we use different words. So I said, and let me ask the congregation, have you ever been in prayer when you felt the Lord impress upon you a scripture for somebody else? If that ever happened to you, give me a wink. If you've ever been in prayer and you thought, oh, I should share this scripture with that brother or that sister. Anybody ever experienced that? If you've experienced it, give me a wink. Okay. Well, that prompting in your heart to go and share that scripture with somebody is the Holy Spirit speaking to you. And he's revealing to you something that this brother or sister needs. That's the Holy Spirit. Have you ever been in your house and you've been praying and then you felt, I need to maybe bake some cakes or take some food or to a brother or sister? And because you felt in your prayer time, maybe there is some kind of need. You felt God has told you you need that need. Has that ever happened to anybody here? Yeah? Okay. That's the Holy Spirit. And that is the spirit of prophecy, the spirit of witnessing Christ. So the testimony of Jesus, the Bible says, is the spirit of prophecy. And whilst I might use the language, oh, God spoke to me and told me I should take the scripture and give it up to her. You might use the language which says, I felt that God wanted me to take that scripture. But we're saying the same thing. The Holy Spirit inside of you is no less powerful than the Holy Spirit in anybody else. And if you're a man or a woman of prayer, he will tell you things. And he will show you things. So that you can help people and pray for them. That is so important to understand. We all have the Holy Spirit in us. And so, he will teach, he will warn you about what is yet to come. He knows everything about you, and he wants to bring you into a place of understanding. Finally, last one, last slide. So, this is the beginning of a series we're going to, for a number of weeks, be talking about the Holy Spirit. Understanding who he is. Because he's one of the, in terms of the Father and the Son, we know a lot about Jesus. And we know a lot about the Father. But perhaps we don't know enough about the Holy Spirit. And so we're going to take time So all over the next few weeks, open up your Bible, read your Bible, study your Bible, to gain understanding about the Holy Spirit from the Scripture, so that we can have confidence to say, okay, now I know what the Bible says, let me open up my heart to allow the Holy Spirit to take me on a journey that he wants to take me on. That maybe I've been closed about, because I've not totally understood, I've not studied the Bible in this way. But now I'm in this church and I have to study the Bible. I have to read what the Bible says. As Baptists, we believe that every member of the church is responsible for their own spiritual growth. You are responsible to read the Bible and to understand it yourself. The preacher, the minister, the pastor, they're here to serve and help. Yes, but before God, you have a responsibility to study your own Bible. That's what we're doing. And so the Holy Spirit, he's the Spirit of truth. He brings illumination to what you read. The Spirit of God, he's the Spirit of holiness. I know that there have been times in my life when I wanted to go to the prayer room and I closed the door and I went to the prayer room and God said, I have a problem with you. And I'm thinking, God, there's only me and you in the room. Are you thinking about me? And he says, yes, I have a problem with you. You need to sort this out in your life. Now, God is more interested in dealing with sin in my life than giving me power to move mountains, to raise the dead, to cast. He's more interested in my character than in whatever power I might think I have. And this is true for all of us. He's the Spirit of holiness. If you want to change the world, if you allow the Holy Spirit to change you, you will change the world. You will. Your children will see an example they can follow. They will change this country in Jesus' name. I don't know what you believe about the future for your children, but I hope we can join together and believe that they will be nation changers, that they will change this nation in Jesus' name. And so, the Spirit of holiness, the Spirit of life, the Spirit of glory, he is eternal in all eternity. Now, as we come to the close this morning, I want us to understand more about the Holy Spirit. We really hope to want to journey together. Because some of you will have heard about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and all this stuff. But I'll say, please don't be anxious. Don't be anxious. Let's go on a journey of studying the Bible together. And if you think the pastor hasn't quite understood the scripture, I'm just going to tell you. I'm just going to tell Joanna. You know, this joke, Pastor Joanna, you don't really understand the Bible. Then you have a lovely conversation together. Or if you don't understand something, please don't be afraid to say it. Because we're family first. We're family. You know? We're not above anybody. We're family. And it's okay to ask questions. It's okay to disagree. It's okay. It's alright. No problem. And if we'll study together, we will become stronger as Christians. Because we will learn the word. When I was a young person, I closed with this story and I went back to you. When I was a young, little baby Christian, I was a hippie Christian in my early 20s. I gave my life to Christ in Scotland. I used to go to nightclubs and discotheques and weekends. I know none of you have ever done this. But and so when I became a Christian, I was living a wild life. And I thank God Jesus saved me. But I was living a wild life. And I remember when I was in a Baptist church, I gave my life to Christ. And then I was really struggling with walking with Jesus. Because I will go to discotheques on Friday and Saturday. Maybe not that. Where I will dance. Where I will dance. And I remember, you know, and then I go to church with something and be all holy. I used to smoke. When I come back, and then before I went to church, I would. And then I would eat lots of mint. And I walk into church and pretend I'm bullied. Nobody knew. Actually, everybody here was smoking. Because when you smoke, you don't realize it, but your clothes smell cigarettes. So all I could smell when I walked to church was mint and cigarette smoke. Okay? So I thought I was hiding and pretending. But they all knew that I was smoking. But nobody said anything. They just loved me. They just loved me. They didn't know I was going to nightclubs on the Friday night and Saturday night. They didn't know. I didn't drink. Not lots of alcohol, but I wasn't like a drink. I wasn't like that. But I tell you what happened. I realized the Holy Spirit convicted me of my sin. And he said, you say you're a Christian, but look at how you're dead. It's the Holy Spirit. And I became heartbroken about my lifestyle. And I asked God to forgive me. I said, God, please help me. I don't know how to stop this behavior. I'm embarrassed to tell anyone. I'm embarrassed to tell my friends. I'm ashamed of myself. So I didn't tell, I was proud as well of shame. So I didn't tell
anyone.
And then one day, this is what happened to me. As I was crying out to God in prayer, and begging him to help me, so I could be a proper Christian. One day, one morning, the Holy Spirit came upon me, and I woke up speaking. The church I was in was conservative. Nobody taught me this. I didn't really understand what was happening. From that day, I couldn't stop reading the Bible. That night, I read the Bible all night. Before that, if I read 3 verses, it was tough. Oh, I read 3 verses.
Well, that's enough for me.
When the Holy Spirit came upon me, I couldn't stop reading the Bible. I never went back to the discotheque and I stopped smoking immediately. The spirit of freedom. I then went to my church and I told my pastor. I said, Pastor, this is what happened to me. He said, this is difficult. Because my pastor at the time didn't believe in the speaking of tongues. He told me, no, this is dying in the hospital. So they said, Pastor, look at what happened to me. I'm telling everybody, I used to go to this and that. Now I don't go. I used to smoke. Now there will be no use to smoke. They tell me. But 3 years later, my pastor came to a conference in Cambridge, Mrs. Nelson. And all of them began to speak in tongues at this conference. He had taught the church for 20 years that the gifts of the Spirit died with the apostles. And now he came back speaking. Don't let's be close to learning. I'm not asking you to change your theology. I'm asking you, let's study the Bible together. Let's see what it actually says. So that we can grow together in Christ. And you don't have to agree with me. You know, as a Baptist, you know, my wife doesn't agree with me about everything. Even though I don't write. And we would say, we should have that freedom in our church. You don't have to do anything with this teacher thing. But let's have a heart that says, I will study to and see what God says. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Come on, pray for us.